When the captain maintained his silence, I faltered. But gathering up my strength again, I stammered, "And when I had the whip..." Suddenly I realized he was about to turn. My words died on my lips. He did turn, and I saw him. The welt I'd made across his face was a red, open wound. But it was his eyes that made me shudder. They expressed nothing so much as implacable hatred, and it was all directed at me. "Sir," I tried, "I did not mean..." "Do you know what you have done?" he said, his voice a hiss. "Sir, do you know?" he now roared. My tears began to flow anew. "I didn't mean to, sir," I pleaded. "I didn't, believe me." "You insulted me before my crew, as no man should ever be insulted. But insulted by a sniffling, self-centered, ugly, contemptible girl," he spat out, "who deserves a horse-whipping." I sank to my knees, hands in prayer-like supplication. "Let them take care of you," he snarled. "In any way they want, I withdraw my protection. Do you understand? I want nothing to do with you. Nothing."
"Sir..."
"And don't you dare presume to come to my cabin again," he shouted. "Ever!" I began to weep uncontrollably. "Get out!" he raged. "Get out!"
He made a move toward me. In great fright, I jumped up, tearing the hem of my dress, and fled back to my cabin. But if the truth be known, and I swore when I began to set down this tale that I would tell only the truth, even at that moment, all my thoughts were of finding some way to appease the captain and regain his favor. If I could have found a way to gain his forgiveness, no matter what it took, I would have seized the opportunity. This time I did not cry. I was too numb, too much in a state of shock. Instead, I simply stood immobile, rather like the moment when I'd first cast eyes upon the Seahawk, trying confusedly to think out what I could do. I tried, desperately, to imagine what my father, even what my mother or Miss Weed, might want me to do, but I could find no answer.